Good morning, guys. It's so wonderful to see so many new faces here this morning, and I've met some of you, but I haven't had the privilege of meeting all of you. My name is Luke. I am part of the leadership team here at Josh Jen Millie's, and I'd love to have the opportunity to maybe meet you after the service. And so please, if I haven't met you yet and you're new, please hang around. Myself and my wife, we had 2 weeks leave recently. It was much needed. Thank you. I think we left the house only two or three times in those 2 weeks. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So I want to share this morning something the Lord's placed in my heart. He woke me up at 10 to 4 this morning. I looked over at my phone, and 10 to 4, he put something in my heart. So I do apologize if it isn't as polished and as professional as maybe we would like it to be, or at least I would like it to be, but I do believe that it is something that the Lord wants to speak into every single one of our hearts, regardless of where you might be at your journey or in your relationship with the Lord. I believe that this morning he's wanting to take each and every one of us a step forward. So if you're here this morning and maybe you're visiting and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, my prayer is that something inside of you would recognize truth, that God would speak to you this morning, and like the rest of us, you would realize that you are in need of a Savior, that you are as broken, as lost, as every single one of us have been, and that you'd recognize that maybe there's more for life than what I've currently been doing. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus and you've given him your life and you're in a relationship with God, I pray that the word this morning would pierce your heart, that you could move forward in more of what he has for you. I was chatting to Anton as we came in this morning, and I just said, I pray that us who are more mature in the faith, that have been coming to church a bit longer, that we don't become familiar with the word of God. I know many, many incredible, wonderful men that have accomplished and done so many wonderful things. I would say miraculous and supernatural things in the world. And still, this word cuts them every single time. I was listening to a pastor teach a few years ago, and he said he's been reading the same book for the past 60 years. The book hasn't changed. He has. And so, no matter how young or how old we may we always be open to change and allow the Lord to do something in our hearts. Is that cool? I just want to pray for us quickly as we're about to share. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to gather this morning, to be here together, to hear your word, to hear from you. I pray that you would do something in us that would change us forever. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to read the first passage of Scripture this morning. It's Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, and it says this. God saved you, that's you and I, by his special favor when you believed. So that special favor, the more accurate sort of translation is, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about that. So I want you to understand that how God saves us is not through anything you or I do. It's not through our own works, our own ability to be good. None of us, in our best efforts, even the best of us, with our best efforts, could never live a sinless life. We're in a world and we're in condition, we're in a state where we're fighting against the temptations of this world, we're fighting against our own flesh. So we, in our own capacity, are never able to live this life of being sinless and blameless and perfect and righteous and holy. It's impossible for you and I to do that in our own ability. And that's the point. The point is that you and I were never designed or created to live these lives in our own capacity or ability. You and I were designed and created to be in relationship with God. And God working in us and through us is able to live the supernatural life. So Paul writes here and says, God saved you and me. How? By his grace, a free gift that cannot be earned when you and I believed. We can't take credit for this. Salvation, being saved, is not a reward for good things you and I have done. So none of us can even boast about it. So this morning you're sitting in a room full of people that at some stage in their lives realized, I am broken, I am lost, I am hopeless. I've tried to make this thing work myself and I've never been able to. You're not sitting here with perfect people. You're sitting here with people that just realize at some stage in their life, I'm okay with the fact that I'm broken. I can't fix it. And you might be here this morning thinking, yeah, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how broken I am. I can guarantee you there are many people in this room that have done worse and they're more broken. The only difference is they're not trying to fix themselves. They've surrendered and said, God, you do it. I can't fix my hopelessness. I can't fix my depression. I can't fix this lost emptiness I have inside of me. Only you can. And it's this free gift that God has given each and every one of us. Salvation is not a reward for what you and I are able to do. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He's not asking you to pay the price. He paid the price. We cannot work our way into heaven. We can't sacrifice our way into heaven. The payment has already been paid. The sacrifice has already been made. The good thing has already been done when Jesus, the Son of God, came and lived amongst us and paid the price for your sin, for my sin, for our failure. The reality that in the world we live in, mistakes, failures have a consequence. There's a price to be paid. And the beauty of it is, Jesus paid that price for us. He took the punishment upon himself. The same verse in Ephesians 2 verse 8 in the English Standard Version says this. For you have been saved, for by grace you've been saved through faith. So we're now seeing this a little bit. Grace is the payment that Jesus paid when they stripped his clothes off and nailed him to a cross, when they whipped his back until there was no skin left, when they pierced his brow with a crown of thorns, when they mocked and beat and abused and tortured him. Every punishment, every consequence, every abuse that has ever existed went on Jesus that day so that you and I would not have to. Jesus looked at the dying and broken world and he says, they can't pay for that. Let me go and stand on their behalf and say, I will take the punishment for what they have done. And in that moment, we received salvation, a free gift given to us, except it's free for us, but it costs Jesus everything. And how do we receive this free gift? By simply believing and going, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my punishment, to pay for my sin. I believe that you rose again 3 days later, that in you I may have new life. As Jesus took the punishment on that cross and was murdered, so all of our consequence, so all of our punishment, so our death died in him. He died so that you wouldn't have to. And then 3 days later, he rose again so that you and I could have life and life abundantly in him. We have been saved by the free gift of grace from God. All you and I need to do is believe. And we receive salvation. And you know what you are saved from? You are saved from death. You are saved from condemnation. You are saved from the creator of the known universe, where one day you will stand before him. Every single man and woman will stand before God one day, and God will look at your life and go, how have you lived your life? And one day we will stand before him, washed clean, holy and righteous as Jesus is, because our sin that was once marked against us has been taken away. This is the gospel. This is Jesus. This is a salvation that you and I freely receive. James, the brother of Jesus, writes this beautiful passage that I want to read now in James 2, verse 14. James says this, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So yeah, we see a bit of an interesting transition in the conversation. You and I are able to receive salvation. How? As a free gift that we receive by believing. It requires nothing of us. But then James takes it a step further. And what James is saying is, salvation has to look like something. It can't merely be, I believe. There has to be a transformation. Salvation and our faith in Jesus has to look like something. It can't simply be, I believe in Jesus and therefore I'm saved. There is so much more for you and I. And many of us find ourselves in this category where we find ourselves, yes, I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. He's the king of my heart. But James is saying, yeah, what good is your faith if it hasn't got works? What good is your salvation if it hasn't resulted in a transformation within you? A few verses later, James says this in 2 verse 26. Just as the body, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Another translation says this. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also is faith dead without works. So God wants to move us from a place of being lost to found, from a place of being dead to alive, from a place of being not saved into salvation. But he doesn't want to keep us there. He wants that salvation to do something in you that results in your life being transformed and changed. That salvation alone is not what God has in store for you. That is merely the beginning of the race. That is merely starting the journey. There is so much more for you and I. And you might be here this morning. I go to church on Sunday. I go to comm on Wednesday. I read my Bible. But James, the brother of Jesus, is saying, if your faith doesn't have works, your faith's no good. In fact, it's like a body without breath. It's dead. It looks alive. It looks the part. But when you start testing it, there's no heartbeat. When you start testing it, there's no life. And for many of us this morning, our relationship with Jesus can be like that. Where I have faith, I believe. But are you alive? Is there evidence of what you believe? Are there works? Is the seed of salvation planted within you, resulting in a life of transformation? Because James, the brother of Jesus, would dare to say, if your faith doesn't have works, if I can't see the evidence of salvation in your life, I'm not going to say, but James says, it's dead. It's of no good. Is your faith like a body without breath? You've got the arms, you've got the legs, you've got the head, you look alive. But when I come and listen to a heartbeat, it's not there. When I come in to see if it's breathing, there's no evidence of the salvation. Faith alone is not what God has for you. There's a greater portion, and it's faith with works. It's salvation with transformation. It's life and life abundantly. And I want to ask you this morning as we move forward, has your salvation stopped at what you were saved from? Because for many of us, my salvation is what I was saved from. But that was never the heart of Jesus. That's not even the full gospel. The full gospel is not what I've been saved from, but what I've been saved for. Who I've been saved for, the person of Jesus. Why I've been saved for, His plans and purposes in my life. And for many of us, and it's not a pointing of a finger, it's because we've been taught an insufficient gospel. We've been taught just the cross and not the resurrection of Christ. We've been taught that I've been saved from hell, but not into purpose, into life, into meaning, into an existence that every single thing is impactful, meaningful, significant. The Bible says that you and I have been called and created to be a city on a hill that burns brightly with its light. And for many of us, we've just turned the dimmer on slightly. Has your story of salvation stopped at, I'm no longer doing this and I'm no longer doing that? Has your story at salvation stopped as I once was lost, but now am found? Because I'm telling you, there is so much more for you and I when we begin to take that seed of faith and work out our salvation and walk out our salvation. God has called you and I to live a life of transformation, and salvation is merely the key to the door. Jesus said to each and every one of us, He didn't say to you and I, go to church on a Sunday, read your Bibles, go to come. He didn't give us a list of things to do in order to reach some religious requirements that you and I, if we do all of these things and tick all of these boxes, we'll be able to sort of sneak into heaven. No, no, no. Jesus simply looks at you and I and says, follow me. We're going on a journey with a man called Jesus. We're not following rules and regulations by a structure called religion. It's a very different thing. But as we follow Him, there is a moving forward. As we follow Him and see what He does, we do the same. And so I want to ask us this morning, do we talk the talk of salvation, or do we walk the walk of transformation? Do we talk the talk of what Jesus does, or we walk the walk and do what He does? Simply believing, there's more for you and I. Simply believing, God wants to move that and transition that into a place where there's life and life abundantly in every single one of us. Paul writes in John writes in Revelation 22, verse 12, and John says this. This is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So we started the conversation off with you and I about salvation being a free gift, where God will give you freely something you haven't worked for, something you haven't earned, something that Jesus paid the price. But yeah, the last book in the Bible, Jesus says, and He increases the conversation and changes the narrative. Because how many of us know that when you speak to a 3-year-old, it's different to a 30-year-old? And so when Jesus speaks to us as young, new believers, He's saying to you and I, all you have to do is believe. and you'll receive the free gift of salvation. But as we've matured in the Lord, he's saying, now that you've received the free gift of salvation, there is more for you and I. And I want to change the conversation where if you take the seed of salvation and allow transformation, you will begin to bear fruit. You'll begin to do good things. You'll begin to be the city on the hill that I've called you to be and impact the world around you. Make a change. Be a different. Be the salt that I've called you to be. Be the light that I've called you to be. Every way that Jesus describes you and I in the Bible, it is an agent of transformation. It is something of influence. And so yet Jesus changes the conversation and he says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. Jesus is bringing a reward. And I will give each person according to what you have done. I want to tell you something now, and I hope that this touches your heart forever. Salvation is free, and inheritance will cost you. One day we will get into heaven and we'll stand before God, and he will look at our lives. And yes, the door into heaven is free. It's a gift of grace from God. But there's something called an inheritance that will cost you. And in your short time here on earth, how you spend and invest your time, your money, your energy, your life will determine the reward and the inheritance we receive one day from God. Invest wisely. Invest wisely. The word reward here in that scripture, when he says, my reward is with me, the Greek word actually means this: wages. Salary. I will pay you for what you've done. It's not some super spiritual language. It's not some super abstract spiritual concept. He will look at your life and pay you according to how you have spent it here. He will pay you wages and salaries for the life you've lived here on earth. So for many of us here this morning, perhaps the conversation starts with salvation. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you didn't really consider that one day we will all stand before God, the creator of the universe, and we will give an account for our lives. And God will look at us and go, you never chose me. I don't know you. And the beauty of it is this. Sometimes in our carnal mind, we can look at that situation and think it's cruel. It's not. What would be cruel would be for him to force us to choose him. He loves us so much that he's given us the ability to reject him, even knowing that that's the worst decision for us. He loves us so much that he will allow us to walk away and make our own choice. So maybe the world looks and thinks, oh, God's cruel. It's kindness that we cannot understand and comprehend. It would be like looking at a child and saying to your own child, I'd love you to stay. I've literally laid my life down so that you would stay. But I love you so much, I won't force you. And in our perspective, in our lens of what carnal love looks like, we don't understand that. It's a love that defies logic. It's a love that is so far beyond our understanding that he loves us so much that he would allow us to reject him. And you might be here this morning and you've never fully chosen Jesus. And he's giving you an opportunity this morning as I preach the word. He's knocking on the door of your heart and saying, I love you so much. One day you will stand before me. And I want to look at you and see my son Jesus. I want to look at you and know you and be in relationship with you and bring you into my house. I've done everything I can. But I'll never force you. And for some of us here this morning who maybe have made that choice and opened the door of our hearts to the Lord, for some of us maybe what the Lord is saying is, you've let me in. You've opened the door of your heart, but you haven't allowed me to change you and transform you. You haven't allowed me to use you. You haven't allowed me to birth my purposes and plans in you. You've simply opened the door. And I have so much more for you and I. I want to give your faith works. I want to give your faith life. I want to give your life meaning and purpose. I want to use you in ways that you could never imagine. I want to transform you and not just save you. So for our work, for what we've done here on earth, how do you think you will be paid? How do you think you will be rewarded for what you've done, Kiana? It's a very sobering thought. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says this, and Paul takes it a step further to the church in Corinth. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged, not some, all. And sometimes the most dangerous place for us present, and I'm going to be vulnerable. You might be an elder and you're thinking, I've arrived. You might be a deacon, I've arrived. You might be sitting here and by every metric your life is headed in the right direction and you think I've arrived. But what will your wages be? Because maybe God has called you to do that and you're simply doing this. Maybe he's asked you to be faithful with so much more. Maybe he's given you gifts and talents. Maybe he's placed people in your world and in your life. And you're thinking, I'm doing okay, man. I don't do drugs. I don't watch this other stuff. I don't do all these sinful things. I'm doing okay. There's more. You might be here this morning. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good grandfather. According to the word, there's more. And I would hate for you and I to get to heaven one day. And Jesus says, welcome, but I've got nothing for you. I've got nothing to reward you with. I can pay you nothing because you gave your heart to me, but you didn't give your hands and feet. You gave your heart to me, but you didn't let me use you. You gave your heart to me, but you weren't that city on a hill that couldn't be hidden. You weren't the salt that I needed you to be in the world to add flavor. You weren't the light and the life that I called and created you to be. You have salvation, but you wouldn't allow transformation. I've got nothing for you, so welcome in. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, all of us must stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in our bodies. Christianity, following Jesus, is something that defies logic, but you might be here this morning and not follow Jesus and be skeptical. Look at the room around you. The vast majority of us were at that stage in our lives, and we're living proof and evidence that the gospel is real, that the gospel is powerful, that the gospel works. And sometimes many elements of Christianity are beyond our comprehension and very spiritual and a mystery to us. But what Paul writes here is not a mystery. He's saying, what did you do in your body? It's a very practical thing. God is saying, I sent my son Jesus to give you salvation, to take you from being broken to whole, to take you from being lost to found, to take you from being dead to alive. What did you do with it? What? I planted the seed of salvation in you. What fruits did you allow to grow? We will all stand before Jesus one day. And there are so many gifts and talents and abilities as I look around this room. So many callings and destinies and purposes and plans that God has. But you've simply opened the door and you haven't let Him come in and change and transform and renew and restore. The Bible says this, that He will cause all things to work together for your good. So even your most hurtful, painful, Even the biggest mistakes you've ever made, He is so good and so kind that He will take those together and restore them and renew them. You might be here this morning and battling with sin. You might be here this morning battling with depression. You might be here this morning fighting fights of addiction and sin that no one else knows about. And you've tried 100 times over. You've tried therapy, you've tried change, and nothing has worked. But God is faithful, and He says this, I will cause all things. I will take the worst parts of your life. I will take the most broken parts of you, and I will turn it around and cause it to work for your good. I will take every test and challenge, every setback and heartache, every year that you think you've wasted, I will take all of those and make it into the greatest testimony and story that you could ever imagine. There's no sin He can't forgive. There's no distance He's not prepared to cover. But what He can't do is He can't force open the door to your heart. He can't force you to choose Him. I want to tell you this morning in kindness and love, but also in desperation. There is a time coming when every single one of us will stand before God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And we will give an account for our lives. And you might be here this morning and just starting your relationship with the Lord. And I want to encourage you to take that step today, to choose to not suffer one day longer in brokenness and hopelessness. I want to encourage you today to make that choice to invite Jesus into your heart and say, Jesus, you paid the price. All I have to do is believe. But then there are a bunch of us this morning, me included. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to stand before God one day. And He's going to look at my wife and look at my kids. He's going to look at every gift He's given me. He's going to, Luke, what did you do with it? Did you allow disappointment and bitterness, fear to enter your heart that prevented you from stewarding and using what I gave you? Every one of us will receive whatever we deserve for the good or for the evil we have done in our earthly bodies. This is not a matter of principle. This is not some concept. What are you doing in your body day to day, here and now, for Jesus, for His kingdom? How are you reaching the lost? How are you loving your spouse and your kids? How are you loving the world around you? Jesus this morning is saying to you, I'm not really as interested in what you believe as you think I am. I'm interested in what you do with what you believe. I'm not interested in you talking the talk. I'm interested in you following me and walking the walk. Jesus says this in Matthew 25, 14 to 23, and we know this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. So a man is, Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man is about to go on a trip. So he calls together all of his servants and he gives money to each and every one of them to invest while he is gone. He gives the one 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold to the other, and a bag of gold to the last, dividing in proportion to their abilities. Press pause there for a second. And he goes on this trip. So this master's about to go on a trip. This is a picture of Jesus dying on the cross, being resurrected, and ascending into heaven. And he's saying to all of us, I'm going on a trip. I'm going away for a little while. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you talents. I'm going to give you gifts. I'm going to give you abilities, each a different portion. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to see how you used them, how you invested them. And the next verse says this. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately. He didn't wait. And I sense this morning for many of us, there's an immediate moment here today. There's an instance in when we can choose Jesus, turn our hearts away from whatever it is that is pulling us away. And it says immediately he began to invest the money and he soon doubled it. The servant with two bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. Press pause there for a second. Why would they bring in and include the detail of immediately and right away? Because there's something of the gospel that Jesus might be walking in this room this morning and knocking on your heart this morning, and there might be a resistance in you or a hard-heartedness. I don't know when he's going to knock again. So when there's an opportunity to respond, when there's an opportunity to choose for my life to be changed, do it then and there. Do it in the moment. Don't wait for tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know if you and I will be here tomorrow. I don't know. No one knows. But this morning he's saying, I want to save you. I want to set you free and heal you. I want you to live according to my plans and purposes for your life. Immediately was the one, and right away was the other. And the next verse says this: but the servant who received the one bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. Press pause there, please. This is the picture for many of us. We've been saved, but we've taken what's been given to us, our gifts, our ability, our time. We've taken our faith and we've buried it, hoping just to make it through this world, hoping just to get by the day, hoping just that life won't be too tough or too difficult. We've tried to play it safe. It says he buried it for safekeeping. God hasn't called you and I to live a life that is safe. He's called us to live a life that is significant. And for many of us, out of fear, maybe of what God will do or what God will say, or out of fear of hurt, out of fear of disappointment, out of fear of what man will think, we've buried our talents, we've buried our ability, we've buried the gift of salvation that he's given us. We've buried it so that we can be safe. The next verse says this: after a long time, their master, Jesus, returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account of how they had used, press pause, how they used their money. This is a picture of Jesus coming, and we all of us standing before him at the end of our lives. He's going, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? Show me how you invested them so I may reward you, so that I may pay you your wages, that I may give you your inheritance because of what you've done here in your earthly bodies. Not in principle, but in practice. And the next verse says this: the servant to whom he entrusted the five bags of gold said, you gave me five bags of gold to invest, and I doubled the amount. The master was full of praise, and he says that the sentence that every single one of us want to hear one day: well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together. Next came the servant who received the two bags of gold with the report, sir, you gave me two bags of gold to invest and I've doubled the amount. And Jesus looks back and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now we'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the third comes. And he says, master, I've got nothing to show you. I took what you gave me and I buried it so that I could be safe. I took what you gave me and I didn't use it. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you're wicked and lazy servant. Loving Jesus, kind, compassionate Jesus. Jesus who paid the price when they tore his body apart in Calvary. gives you and I this free gift of salvation. And the third servant just buries it for safekeeping. And Jesus says, "You wicked and lazy servant." So many of us, me included, are like that with what God has given us. We've taken the gift of salvation and all of the gifts and talents and abilities He's given us with it, and we've buried it. And sometimes the easiest way to bury it is to, "I know Jesus. I come to church. I do all the right things." Sometimes the easiest way to bury it is here. Have you buried the talents, the gifting, the calling of God on your life? Or are you using this salvation that He's given you, this gift of life, or are you simply burying it? The third servant didn't waste his salvation. He didn't walk away from his salvation. He just never used it. He didn't, by any metric, he didn't sin. He just didn't use what God had given him. So when you and I one day stand before Jesus to give an account for our lives, I want to ask you this morning, what will your reward be? Will you hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You took everything I gave you and you used it. You lived according to my plans and purposes." Or will we hear, "You were wicked and lazy. You're still a servant. You're still saved. But you were lazy. You were wicked. You had the gift of salvation. And you buried it." I'd love to just take a moment just to close our eyes and just think about that. Jesus says that He gave talents and abilities, gave gifts to each and every one of us. And the good and faithful servant used it immediately. There wasn't a delay. There wasn't a Monday or a Tuesday. There wasn't a next week. There wasn't, "I wasn't ready." He used it immediately because he didn't know when the master was returning. And you and I this morning don't know when Jesus is returning. We don't know when we'll stand before Him one day. So don't wait or delay another day. Immediately, right now, without hesitation, say, "God, I want to use everything you've given me, not only just for salvation, but for transformation. I want to be faithful with everything you've given me. I want to stand before you one day and you look into my eyes and me look into your eyes and you say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. Here is your inheritance. Here is your portion. Here is your reward.'" Will you stand before Him and He'll look at you and say, "I gave you so much. Why did you do so little?" Salvation, to be saved from being lost. Some of us here this morning, in our hearts, as I'm speaking right now, you know you're lost. You know you're broken. You know you're battling addiction and you're battling all sorts of things. Some of you have heard 1,000 preachers, 1,000 sermons, been to every Sunday, but even now, your heart is distant from the Lord. And I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray that you can receive salvation, that you can be saved by Jesus and go from being lost to being found immediately.